Well, good morning. Coming up on 7:40 here on the Mighty 690. It's time for our legislative update here. And joining us this week, and I guess he'll be here next week too, we have State Senator Virgil Peck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, sir. This is generally Representative Dr. Ron Bryce's Friday, but Ron, he still does some work in an emergency room as one of his businesses. He's got a lot of business interests here in Coffeeville. Still got some from down in Texas, and so he's taking care of some patients in an emergency room and unable to be here, well, so we traded in.
That worked. So you've been, you know, the fair week, have you been out there and, you know, shaking hands and doing all your usual stuff, eating some fair food maybe?
Absolutely. I always enjoy the Interstate Fair and Rodeo. This year, up until tomorrow, the weather's been great. Now, I don't know what's up with you weather guys, kind of throwing a wrench in the works right here at the very end.
I know. We did the best we could, but see, that was the trade-off. For no rain, we had to increase the temperature. So that's how it works. We had to do something.
Well, I kind of liked the temperatures that we enjoyed on Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Even Tuesday was great. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know.
Right. Early on, it was great. But yeah, the Interstate Fair and Rodeo, a good time. The Demolition Derby is always amazing to me, how people love to go out and watch cars be destroyed. I guess I have a little different perspective. I worked in a body shop right out of high school for a few years, and I rebuilt a lot of wrecked vehicles. And so when I look at that, it's like, man, you're doing damage to a vehicle. But there's still a lot of fun.
Either get to watch cowboys hurt themselves or, you know, bang themselves up, or the cars get destroyed. So we like our destruction and injury, I guess, as a society.
I guess so.
I don't know what it says about us.
But of course, the rodeo is man against beast.
It is, yeah. And people love that.
And it is reality, because out on the farm, out in the ranch, the guys and gals do ride horses. They do rope calves.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You get to see a lot of that on display. There's some very realistic, you know, roping that you have to do, and a herding of animals. And, you know, sometimes they cooperate. A lot of times they don't. they want to do their own thing. And so it is a real hoot to watch. And, I mean, there's nothing better than a PRCA rodeo. It's the good stuff.
I never have understood the bull riding, though. I mean, that's not really part of farming. I mean, who gets on a bull out in the middle of a pasture?
So you get bored enough, I guess, or you start daring each other.
But I tell you what, those are real athletes.
They sure are. This is the NBA kind of, you know, the athlete world.
Yeah, and the rodeo clowns, you don't realize the athletic talent they have to be able to get out of the way of those bulls and to get between sometimes the bull and the rider. Just a lot of talent. But, yeah, the rodeo's over, but Demolition Derby's coming up the next two nights. And we had the bean feed the other night, watermelon. It's always fun, just the Interstate Fair and Rodeo.
Well, hey, I'm going to have to turn my air conditioner on just to drown out the noise at night, but that's okay. I'm not going to complain.
Okay.
I'm right over there. I'm just right. I could hear the concert last night. I was like, well, it's nice, but it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So. Is that late?
That's 8 o'clock. It's kind of late.
Yeah, I got it. When you get up in the middle of the night to come in and fill in for the radio.
Yeah, well, we want to make sure we get some of this talk in here. And I know that we've had a lot of stories here covering various commissions and that sort of thing about revenue neutral or exceeding revenue neutral. A lot of these terms being thrown around and that sort of thing. And I know this is kind of that time of year for all this discussion.
It is. By the way, before we get to business, I've got to just mention that Tuesday was my wife and my anniversary,
right.
46 years of being married.
Well, congrats to you. That's awesome.
Well, I don't understand. 46 years sounds like a long time, but, man, I remember getting married like it was yesterday, and the nervousness and the sweaty palms and so forth. But anyway, 46 years. And then next week, I got a birthday coming up.
Hey.
My birthday is the same day as Hawaii became a state.
Okay.
So I know you know when that is and what year it is. That doesn't matter. But, yeah, yes, everyone in the area and around the state has been receiving notices about their property valuations, property taxes, and revenue neutral rate hearings. What that is, to sort of talk about it just a little bit, is the legislature passed legislation that if a taxing entity wishes to exceed their revenue one year versus the previous year, they must publish that and mail it out to the taxpayers and then hold a special hearing so the taxpayers know that the rate, the taxes are going to be increased, and the revenue neutral rate hearings are an opportunity for individuals to voice their thoughts, ask some questions, then it's going to be up to the taxing entity how they do or don't answer them, but then they do have to take a public vote. It has really helped, I believe, James, more taxpayers, more property owners understand the process, because in the past they would get their property tax statement and it would be up from the previous year, and then they wouldn't know necessarily who or why. But the, with the revenue neutral rate publication, and you can see who is exceeding and who is not exceeding the revenue neutral rate. And I encourage listeners, taxpayers, to go to these meetings. You can find them in your property tax statement. For example, I've got several on a list I'm going to try to sit in on, and I'm going to be there for two reasons. One, to see who shows up and what is said, but also I'm a property taxpayer myself. Now, I do not pay property taxes in the city of Coffeyville, but theirs is next Wednesday, the 22nd. ICC's is the 21st. We've got school districts that are going to be holding theirs. Caney School District is where I pay my personal property taxes for schools. So schools, cities, colleges, counties, and by the way, Montgomery County, I do plan to go to the Montgomery County one, and I realized I didn't write down the date on that, but it's something that we have implemented, endeavoring to provide transparency, a better understanding for taxpayers, because that's who foots the bill. And then the elected officials are the ones that spend the money. So
now, can you help us understand a little bit, even if the revenue neutral is going to be exceeded, that may or may not mean that the mill levy will go up or change, right? These are kind of a little bit different.
That's exactly right. Hey, the valuation is published, and that's supposed to be the value of all property in an area, we'll say a county. And then as valuation goes up, historically, a lot of times the mill levies just stayed the same and there was an automatic tax increase. I believe that mill levies should be going down as valuations go up, and government at all levels needs to be very cautious in government spending. Why are taxes going up? That was a question, but yes, you are right. A tax increase doesn't necessarily equate to a mill levy increase, and for years, some government taxing authorities would say, well, we reduced the mill levy. Well, okay, you reduced the mill levy, but overall taxes went up. And that's what it's pretty simple, revenue neutral. If you're bringing in a dollar more in revenue from taxpayers than you did the year before, you must hold a hearing, a public hearing, receive public input, and hold a public vote. So it's designed not necessarily to do anything as controlling taxes, hopefully it does, but more transparency, more understanding, because the taxpayers are the ones footing the bill.
Sure. And then the other thing, I mean, we've had some calls already here on Open Line about this, is people are getting some of their tax statements and their bills and everything. And this is going to depend county by county, because I know they're going to send these out. But, you know, people are seeing a big increase, and they're kind of wondering, you know, even some are saying, you know, hey, I'm not even getting like a breakdown like I used to of some of this. And it's just like, why did my taxes go up, you know, X number of dollars? And to some people, it's actually a pretty big jump from last year.
It is substantial in some cases. You are correct. And the tax increase, again, a lot of times it's based off of a valuation increase. And I realize that values of properties have gone up not as significantly, I believe, as what the valuations have been, because we've had, and we've talked about this, and people have talked to me about it many times, individuals from out of state, from far away, California, Colorado, so forth, come in to our area, and they will pay more for a property than what the neighbors would believe that it is worth. Well, that in statute, according to the county appraiser, says, okay, well, if that property sold for X dollars, that means that all the adjoining properties are more valuable because someone was willing to buy a particular house or land for a particular price. And it might have been an inflated price, but then the appraiser will say, okay, well, that's the going price for land in this particular area, so we're going to increase the valuation. My question would be, what about when land values go down? Because the real estate market is cyclical. It does go up, it does go down. It doesn't go down as much as it goes up a lot of times, but that's where the real issue is. And a lot of individuals, they contact me too, James. They want to know, okay, why is my valuation up? And why are my taxes going up? Now, a revenue neutral rate does not necessarily mean every taxpayer's taxes are going up. And that's also another issue. Some taxpayers' taxes may go up. Other taxpayers' taxes may actually be reduced slightly. But it all is one pile, one pot of money, and all coming from taxpayers. And overall, is the taxing entity bringing in more money? So it's an issue that gets a little bit out there, a little bit complex, but the main thing is our taxes being raised, or is revenue going up versus the previous year, is what it boils down to. And so there's a requirement in state statute that they hold a hearing.
Gotcha. So, well, switching gears just a little bit, I know we've had some talk over the years about Medicaid and the Medicaid expansion, that sort of thing. I guess there's some continuing chatter on that.
Yes, that's continuing. And it's interesting to me and frustrating, the information that is put out there sometimes. And one thing that has brought this up, there was a recent report published about rural hospitals and their risk of closing in all states. So this is not just Kansas specific, but in all states, the risk of rural hospitals closing. And Kansas, we do have a significant number of rural hospitals. We've got currently 104 what is classified as rural hospitals in our state, which is pretty high compared to most states. Now, places like Texas, of course, is much larger geographically, and so it's got a higher number of rural hospitals, but they look at the percentage of rural hospitals that are at risk of closing, and when rural hospitals are talking about, well, they may be shutting down, then people say, well, we've got to find a way to keep them open. I agree with that. I really want to find a way to keep rural hospitals open. And a lot of people, particularly on the left, they say, well, all we got to do is expand Medicaid. Medicaid is a government program. Medicaid is a program that is funded by tax dollars. Unlike Medicare, Medicare is also funded by tax dollars, but it has a dedicated source of revenue and a dedicated fund. Medicaid does not. Medicaid is just money taken out of the pot of tax dollars that come in. Medicaid expansion would allow more individuals to be on the government-provided health insurance. And when I say government-provided, it's actually taxpayer-provided health insurance. And Medicaid expansion would assist with providing a little bit of money to rural hospitals, but it wouldn't save any rural hospitals. I want to stress that. It is a piece of the puzzle. It would help, but it would not save. Medicaid expansion alone would not save any rural hospitals. And that's something that's been frustrating to me, because we have individuals say that that's the reason that we lost the hospital in Independence. No, that is not the reason. They say that's the reason we've lost the hospital in Fort Scott. And of course, that's Southeast Kansas, not really real close here, but no, that is not the reason that the hospital closed in Fort Scott. Medicaid expansion would have helped these hospitals, but they still would have closed anyway. Now, briefly, what is Medicaid expansion? Medicaid expansion would allow individuals at 138% of the federal poverty level to be on Medicaid. Currently, if you're disabled, no matter what your income, you can be on Medicaid. If a person is a child and they're in low income, they can receive Medicaid. So we're talking about expanding health coverage, government-funded, taxpayer-funded health coverage for individuals aged 19 to 64, working age, non-disabled. So not only working age, but working capable. So these are people that should get out and get a job and work. And I realize that some people are working hard and not earning a lot. But when you have a government program with a limit on income, if an individual exceeds that limit, then they lose their government, their taxpayer-funded benefits. So they have no incentive to improve themselves. And that's also an issue that with me. You will hear from supporters of Medicaid say that, Kansas is losing tax dollars that we send to Washington. Well, that is absolutely false. For every dollar that Kansas sends to Washington, D.C., we get $1.23 back. So when people say, well, we should get our money back, we're getting our money back plus. So Medicaid expansion would bring money into the state. That is a positive. But it is also going to add to the federal deficit. So my point, I guess, in bringing this up, James, is the fact that it's not a simple issue. It's not something that we should just jump into. Kansas is one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid. And, of course, those on the left say, well, we should expand Medicaid. We should be getting our fair share. I'm just not a fan of government. The government solutions, I don't believe, are the right solutions. We had during the pandemic, it started in March of 2020, basically. The federal government said persons on Medicaid can stay on Medicaid. You can't move them off because currently you have to qualify. And it's an annual review. But during the pandemic, because of federal legislation, had to keep anyone who was on Medicaid on Medicaid. And now we are doing a review because the federal government has said, starting in April, that you've got a year to clean up your Medicaid rolls. Because the federal government in Kansas pays 60% of Medicaid costs. Kansas taxpayers pay 40%. Something that I believe is really important to be a part of this discussion and understand is if we expand Medicaid, they say it will cover 150,000 or thereabouts Kansans who currently need Medicaid coverage under Medicaid expansion. Well, that's not quite accurate. About 40% of that 150,000 are currently covered by private health insurance. So we would take people off of private health insurance and put them on taxpayer-funded health insurance. Medicaid coverage across the nation went from about 71 million in March of 2020 to over 94 million in March of 2023. Because a lot of people are on Medicaid that do not qualify income-wise. Now, I realize that someone who's been on Medicaid and now they're being removed from Medicaid coverage, it can be a challenge for them. But we have guidelines, and we want individuals to, I want individuals, and a lot of conservatives want individuals, to work hard, to improve themselves, make good money, be more self-reliant, less reliant on the federal government. So it's a topic we could spend a lot of time on, James, talking about Medicaid and Medicaid expansion and what it would do, what it would not do. But in Kansas, we are reviewing that. And a lot of individuals are not re-qualifying for Medicaid. Some reasons is because their income has increased. Sometimes it's they just aren't filing to re-qualify. And I don't want to babysit people. If you are on a program, if you need assistance on getting some paperwork filled out, hey, there's people that will assist. But we also don't want people just sitting there doing nothing and drawing off of other taxpayers. Sure. That's sort of socialism.
No, that is a good reminder there, sir. So as we kind of wrap things up, anything else that you'd like to hit on in our final minute or so together?
Well, on the positive side, because we've talked about some things that weren't necessarily that positive, but agriculture exports for the state of Kansas in 2022 reached an all-time high, $5.5 billion of agriculture exports went to other states and other countries. I found it interesting, James, the top export was red meat. 39% of our export was red meat. Cereals accounted for 25%, and then oil seeds, which is basically primarily soybeans, was 12.5%. But the good news is, last year, 2022, exports of ag products were up, which really helped the state economy. Sadly, the wheat harvest this year is not looking very good. It wasn't very good.
Not all that good. But yeah, we have heard here on the farm show that demand for red meat, despite the economy, still remains strong. So that's a good one.
Well, I'm someone who enjoys good red meat, good steak or burger, whatever. But so that's good that the state's exports were record high last year. Hopefully they are pretty close to the same for 23, but we won't know until, about a year from now.
All righty. Well, State Senator Virgil Peck, we appreciate you joining us and look forward to chatting again here next week.
I look forward to it. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. 63 degrees right now in Coffeyville. As we head up towards 8 o'clock, we have our Ask the Expert segments on the way here on KGGF.